That book is called Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky. That one is called Doesn't Hurt to Ask. Which one are you pointing to here? I can't see which one you're pointing to. Oh, that's Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. And that is a placeholder because our mic stand broke. And the whole reason that there's a... just through moving. We moved from Minnesota and my stuff got broken. So we got to do what we got to do. Those are cigars.
Oh, then you pull it, then it comes out?
Yep, and then you can pull a cigar out. Don't cut your fingers on that glass, okay?
There.
The glass that you're sliding off. This is sharp on the edges. I don't want you to cut yourself. Yep. All right. Good talk. See ya. Worst producers of all time, dude.
Hi.
What's up, Cubs? Just sloppy as all fucking get out. Trapzilla City. Babe, I'm gonna keep dancing on that bridge till the stars come home.
And cheer up, babe.
Fucking knocked it out of the park, dude. What's up, Cubs? Welcome back to Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast. I'm your host, VJ Julio. This is episode 106, I think. Welcome back to the den. Let's get it started. I'm a coach again. Shia. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit. Our relationship has become increasingly abusive, and it's because I just can't stand the nonsense. I just can't stand the consistent disrespect, you know? Now, we're going to have some fun this episode. We're going to get into it. I got to coach last weekend, and first of all, so cool. Can't wait to fully immerse myself into coaching these kids and getting a lot better relationship built with them and stuff like that. I'm just really excited for that aspect to turn on. But before we get into that, we got to talk about the fact that, hey, I appreciate y'all. Hey, appreciate y'all. 10 out of 10 preach on y'all just riding with me and allowing me to have an episode where I don't joke a lot. Last week's episode, obviously, was going through a lot of pain points in my life where I needed to talk it out. I needed to speak it out. I needed to get it out on the table, and honestly just utilized all of the last episode to do that. And when I was editing it back, it kind of made me chuckle because, babe, you know me, you know it's all hands, okay? You know that this podcast is 73% hand movement, 27% math, vocals, okay? My vocals are 27%, and you might say, hey, for a podcast, that's not very great for expression and problems like that. But I speak with my hands so much because my Italian blood runneth through, you know? I'd be dancing on the bridge till the stars come home. But I'm editing last episode and I was like, Jesus, dude. Like, if you did a time lapse of the entire last episode, my hands are just like this. When my hands are folded on my lap, chilling, I'm going through it, okay? When my hands are folded and just stable, if my hands are stable and still going through something in my brain. All right, and that was all of last episode. I appreciate you guys for rocking, but we're going to have some silly fun this time. We're going to be a little bit more excited. We're pippity-popping. I got my coaching jacket on, obviously. I look like it's 1988. I stole this from my father. I look like it's 1988, and then I'm four beers deep at a little league baseball game right now. I look like I'm berating a ref for a bad call that a second grader didn't swing at. You know what I mean? I just wanted to say, I also got the legs out right now so you guys can see how ghost white I am, but whatever. I mean, 90% of you just listen to the audio version of this anyway, so I don't really need to describe my appearance every single fucking episode, but I do, okay? But I do. But hey, the state tournament happened last weekend, okay? From when you're listening to this, I am just getting back from the state tournament. But I'm recording this before the state tournament, and I will say, for my little brother's inaugural season of a wrestling program, to remind you guys, Boone is the head coach at a school where they have not had wrestling ever outside of this year. Now, if you know anything about wrestling, hell, if you know anything about sports, you should not expect to have success in a sport when your first time trying the sport was 3 months ago. Your first time ever even strapping on the gear to do your first attempt at the sport happened 3 months ago. So last weekend, we got to do districts, also known as the state qualifiers. Okay, so it's a wrestling tournament where if you place it high enough, you get a bid to state. So you qualify for the state tournament, which is where we are leaving to tomorrow. But so Boone and I go in, and I'm just there at this point, considering I haven't been able to invest time into these kids yet outside of helping out at a couple tournaments. I'm just there to help Boone. I'm just there to, you know, keep his energy dialed in, keep his temper mitigated, you know, and take some of the stress off of his plate in terms of bouncing around coaching 10 kids during a wrestling tournament. Pop, 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 pop. It's very, very high rev. I explained how tournament structure is last episode, so you guys know what we're rocking with. So I'm just there to help Boone and assist these kids with any insights that I can while I'm with them. Now, by all rights and purposes, these kids shouldn't trust me yet. These kids shouldn't, honestly, like, it's a shock to me that they listen to anything that I say, because I have not proven to them that I deserve it, because I haven't put the time in yet. I'm stepping in to help Boone out a little bit, but next year that's going to drastically change, because I'm all in, all practices, all tournaments, putting my time of good use. So, but having said the fact that I would understand if these kids basically told me to get fucked, they don't, because, I mean, there's a couple, but for the most part, they don't, dude, which is super cool. So get to give these kids some insights, and considering it's a state qualifiers, if you don't qualify for state, your season's over. It's done. Your wrestling season, your first wrestling season in your life is over. So it's a good time for someone who has lived that and experienced that and did that for 18 years of their life to be able to step in with a little bit of insight. And I really, really had fun coaching those kids, both through their practices and also through the mentality of how you should end your season and carry it into the off season and the kind of focus you should have. So having said all that, it was a lot of fun. Jesus, dude, you get me rambling on coaching, I'm going to fucking go off the rails. But Boone and I go into the weekend of this with no expectation, because it's all of these kids' first year. To put that into perspective, I would say probably 60% of the wrestlers at these places have minimum been wrestling their entire high school career, and a lot of them are in the same boat as Boone and I, where we've been wrestling since we were 4 years old. So you stack that level of training and practice against kids who started for the first time 3 months ago, we're going in with bare minimum expectations. Very, very high hopes, but very minimum expectations, to where if nobody qualified, we would not hold it against the kids, because obviously they need more time. They need more experience. They need more training, you know. But two of these motherfuckers are wrestling in the state tournament. What, dude, it is, coaching is so fun. Because you remember the emotions that are at play and the expectations you put on yourself, and watching some of these kids go through that. Oh man, there's nothing better than sports. There's nothing better than sports, because it's a fast turnover expectation of life, right? So life is all about working hard, keeping your nose to the grindstone, and then staying on a path to where you have your eyes set on a target and you're working towards the success. You have your eyes set on a target and you are working towards that target. Sports, with it being seasons, it's like you can see the play out of that in a faster time period than life, you know, because sports, it's like 3-4 month turnover. It's like you bust your ass for the 4 months, and how does it pan out? What's the success rate? You know, was your target aligned correctly? And so I just love it. I just love it, man. It gives you so much tools, and it's so fun, dude. It's so fun. Now, these kids, they come from some rough fucking backgrounds. So some of these kids are on their fuck shit, and I love it because they have had to go through more than even I could speak to ever. Their trials and tribulations of their life are such that wrestling is an outlet, to where when I was being raised, wrestling was my main stressor, which was why I was able to make it my main focus. Man, some of these kids go through so much that giving them the opportunity to wrestle is really all that's necessary. It's so fucking cool. But they are on their fuck shit, dude. Some of them are on their fuck shit. Some of them, dude, there's a reason that I'm not going to be a head coach, and there's a reason that I can't work for a school district. My hands won't stay still, okay? Just like I said at the beginning of this podcast, it's 73% hands. Bro, if I had to spend every fucking second with these hard-ass kids, dude, these kids are hard. They're fucking, some of them are fucking gangster as shit, and they also pop off at the mouth. If I had to spend my career with these kids, 73% of them are catching hands, dude. Which is why I have so much respect for Boone, and also why I could not work in a school district. But hey, dude, we move on. We digress. I fucking love it. It's fun from an assistant coach standpoint to navigate these little fuckers' personality, because I already love them. I already want the best for them. That has already taken place, because, man, there's some fun personalities on this team. But hey, big shout out to Lucky. Big shout out to Lane. Both of those, our 220-pounder and our heavyweight, made it to the state tournament. So as you guys are listening to this, the state tournament will be over, so I will have the results. But yeah, it's been a party. So anyways, Cubs, let's get into it. Did I ever tell you guys how my wife and I were basically living in a Hallmark movie like probably 3 months ago? I don't think I told you the story, and it's such a goodie. I mean, Nat, we're already living in a Hallmark movie because our love runneth over. And dude, okay, so we were driving around one day, and I think we were just running errands, and then like we decided to take the long way home, the road less traveled by. Someone cast the most generic looking white guy to play us in the Hallmark retelling of our love story. Most generic looking white guy. Okay, cast me then, I guess, is what I meant by that. But dude, so we were driving and we're just cruising. We got the girlies in the back and we're driving. There's this like road that has this loop, right? And suddenly we just see a chicken, assholes and elbows down the road, like absolutely like off of a cartoon, tears around a corner, and then on that chicken's ass is a dog. And it was like the animators of Disney drew it, and then it was happening in front of us. Just a chicken, just absolute assholes, elbows, tearing down the sidewalk, and a dog just on its heels, just going ape shit. And we go, oh no, you know, I mean, the dog was like the size of a, I don't know, what, a Scottish Terrier? I don't know. What are the dogs that have the mustaches? You know, the dogs that even when they're born, they look like an old cowboy from 1882. Whatever those dogs are, I think it's a Scottish Terrier. He was all white, and he was just assholes and elbows after this chicken. And we're like, oh God. And they go boom and they tuck into this. So they get off of the sidewalk and they rip into this parking lot. And Jordan goes, oh my gosh. And so we turn the car around because we're like, okay. So either one of two things is going to happen. Thing number one, we're going to happen upon a dead ass chicken, and then someone's dog ran away from home. Or we'll get there before the dog murders the chicken, and then we have to figure out what to do with the dog and a chicken. Either way, sounds like fun time. Let's turn this motherfucking car around. So we turned around and they tore into a parking lot. And so we pull into the parking lot. I hop out and I go kind of jogging around because they were going so fast. Lost visuals immediately after they tore into the parking lot. Lost visuals right away. Fastest dog and chicken of all time. And we see the dog trotting back to me. And I'm like, oh. Well, if that isn't the face of a murderer, I don't know what. Hey, buddy, come here. What are you doing, dude? And he comes trotting over, and I'm like, hey, guy. And he's just in the best mood of all time because in my mind at this point, he successfully pulled off a kill. he has proven to his subconscious that he is a formidable, absolute unit of a dog. There was a trespasser. There is no longer a trespasser. So he's walking all cockstrong, and I go, well, going to have to figure out what to do with the chicken in a second. But the chicken is nowhere to be seen. So I pick him up, and I just kind of go walking back the way they ran. I look at his collar. He has a collar. I give the phone number a call, and I go, hey, I have your dog. I think he just committed a horrendous crime. But nonetheless, I have your dog. And she goes, oh my gosh, where at? And I'm like, oh fuck, now I gotta look at street signs and shit. I don't fucking, give me 1 second. And I go walking over to the little green roadside sign, and I go, I'm on the corner of such and such and such and such. And she goes, oh wow, he went far. And I'm like, yeah, bitch, listen, you got 47 seconds or I'm gonna put this dog in the pound, because now I'm not a judge or a juror, but I'm a witness, okay? So she apparently hops in her car, cruises over, grabs her dog, goes, thank you so much, thank you so much. And I go, not a problem, not a problem. And I go get back in the car with Jordan, and I go, should we go try to find the chicken? Should we go see what we should do with that chicken? And she was like, yeah. Because in my mind, I go, soup sounds delicious. And in her mind, she was like, what if we can save him? You know, so we go back into that parking lot, and I'm just walking around. Like, obviously, the chicken is nowhere to be seen. I don't even see a feather. So I'm like, okay, I don't know. I go kind of walking around the perimeter of the parking lot. And along the perimeter of the parking lot, there's all these shrub bushes. And I just see the back end of a fucking chicken underneath one of these shrub bushes, just his little brown tail peeking out. And I was like, oh, fuck. Oh. I'm about to pull out a dead chicken from a bush. VJ, when you woke up this morning, what'd you think you were going to do today? I thought that I was going to pull a mauled chicken out of a bush. And they go, ding, ding, ding. Well, what do we have for him? So walk over to the chicken. And I got so close to him that I could, like, touch him, right? And there's no movement. So I was like, ah, shit. And the reason I was like, ah, shit, is because my wife is an animal lover. And the last thing that I want to show her is a dead animal. You know, any given day is foreplay. I'm trying to keep her activated. And I know the first thing that's going to cock block me is a dead animal in my hands at some point during the day. There's a little pro tip for you fellas out there. Hey guys, you trying to court a lady? Don't show them a dead animal at any point in time. All right. Unless you murder that animal with your bare hands and that animal was a predator. The only time that you can show a woman a dead animal and it pans out for you that night is if that animal was attacking you and you killed it with your bare hands. All right. It's rule number 73, the Cheer Up Babe Bible. Okay. So I'm over the chicken and I'm like, ah, shit. And I reach in and I go to pull him out. And right when my hands touch him, motherfucker loses his mind. Scared the living piss out of me because I was 93% sure that homie was tostado on mustado. So the little shit freaks out and I just clamp down on him and I pull him out. And I was like, oh my God, you stayed away. The most gangster chicken of all time. I mean, granted, he was hiding, but he had made his escape. You know, and also, why was the dog walking all cockstrong? You know, why was the dog acting like he just successfully pulled off a murder without any witnesses? Why was he trotting right over to me like, what's up, bro? Just handle my business. He didn't do shit, weak ass, little bitch ass, mustache having dog. You know what I mean? So I was confused on multiple fronts, picked the chicken up, and I go, well, the chicken doesn't have a collar. What the fuck do we do? You know? So I just started walking down where they tore out of, which was an alleyway. So the corner that they tore out of when we first saw them was an alley. So I just pick up a chicken and I just start walking. And I told Jordan, I was like, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to finish this walk down this alley and I'm going to find a chicken coop and I'm just going to drop it in there, or we have a chicken and we got to figure that out, you know? So I'm walking down and then these people pull up in their car, and I want you to picture what they looked like based off of the information that they have a chicken coop in a residential area in the middle of a city. You know what I mean? I want you to picture those people. Yes, that's what they look like. They pull up, they have a chicken. they pull up looking for a chicken and they go, hi. And I was like, is this y'all's chicken? Because I'm an Idaho boy. I have a little bit of a Western twang every now and so often. So I say shit like y'all now, you know, it's better than, hey, bud. Hey there, bud. Oh, don't you know there, bud. Oh, let me just squeeze right past you there, bud. We got to get you and the family out on the boat sometime. You know, I'd rather fucking say y'all, you know. So I say y'all and they go, yes. And I didn't even ask any second questions because A, the heartbreak, panic, relief in their eyes, and also the dreadlocks. So I gave them their chicken, hopped back in the car, and I said, that was a fun little fucking adventure. And I go, that doesn't happen to people very often. You know, there's very few people that have the story of one time I decided to take the long way home and I simultaneously returned a chicken and its assailant to its proper order and home, and everyone went home safe. The end. You know, in the Disney animation, cursive lettering of the end pops up over that story. And it's like, what the fuck? But that was fun. That was fun. Also, my wife wants chickens now, obviously. You know what I mean? And I say now, but she's wanted chickens for like 4 years, but then I actually held a chicken, and now I got built chicken coop. So put that on the docket. Put that on the docket. Why does she want chickens? Eggs. We buy eggs, but she wants farm fresh eggs. You know, she's going to be making sourdough soon. You know, she's going to be wearing fucking aprons. You know, I mean, she already wears aprons. Fuck. Why have I not seen the signs of this coming, dude? It's coming. You know, I want land. Ugh. Do I want land, or did my wife convince me that I wanted land? We're figuring this out. See what happens when I put shit in words. Have I always wanted land so that I could have my own property, so that I could have horses and shit? Or has my wife implanted that slowly in my brain over the last 11 years? Doesn't matter. All we can do is look forward.
So I did a really good puzzle. So I just had a really great puzzle. So yes, and yeah.
Yo, well, little girls are in my chair right now.
Yeah, and you see.
What are you doing? All right. Well. As it goes, here, will you guys go grab some paper and that marker and go ahead and draw some stuff on the whiteboard? And will you also draw me some pictures? That's the whiteboard, the one we draw spiders on? Yeah, that. That's the whiteboard. You can move that. All right. Well, as things go, life happens. We get pulled away and we just gotta fight on, Cubs. Like, listen, so I don't know. I don't even know where I was at because I got pulled away for a work emergency thing, which is completely fine. But, you know, stacks, you know, just real quick, not ever worried about getting pulled away from a work thing, especially if it's even if it's after hours, because stacks. But that's fine. And we fight on. And now I'm in an absolutely stained up sweater instead of on my coaching BS. But it's fine, dude. So. And now the girls are here, and they're just going to be rocking with us while we finish this episode. So, dude, oh, let's see. What else? I think I was just telling you guys about the Hallmark story. Talked about the chicken and the dog. And then I have a thing to admit to you, Cubs, okay? And that is that, gosh, I started watching TikTok again. I've been scrolling on TikTok every single day for like 8 days. Where are you gonna go?
That's at school. Can I maybe excuse?
I know. May I be excused? I know that's what you say at school. Where are you?
I can be excused, please.
Where are you gonna go?
I'm going outside.
Oh, this is pretend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead. You can be excused. Worst producers of all time. So TikTok isn't as toxic to me as it used to be. Like because I used to dive in, and now I just watch. Now I just watch, and I subscribe to stupid ass pages that are just show like compilation clips of happy things. I have a mental disease, and I haven't got it verified. I haven't I haven't been clinically diagnosed, but I have a mental disease of some sort where I avoid negativity now. And that's the nature of this podcast. But I have one ask from y'all and the universe. If I could just have a secret door or a secret department or a secret arrow that points me in a direction at the next house I buy, like a secret little house that has a potential treasure in it. If I could just have that. Could I just get a secret room in the house that's boarded up for some reason? Could I just get that? You know? Because that's like 50% of my algorithm. And every single time I scroll to it, I'm sucked in, dude. I'm so basic with it. I'm just like, want to watch it? Gotta see it. Oh my God, what's underneath the plank of wood? You know? Pathetic. You know? My attention span is slipping away. But all I want is a secret chamber, you know? Like, you know, the girls come in. They are the best. They are the best determiners of, was the last thing you were talking about worthy of being on a podcast? They're the best at that. Like the last time they were interrupting episodes, they were talking, Lottie came in and just disrupted an entire rant I was on about Jesus Christ and what I would, and how I walked into a fog with my neighbors, you know? They interrupt at the most opportune times to show me with a magnifying glass, hey, what you were just talking about? Not fucking important, move on, you know? So actually, you know, hindsight's 2020, actual best producers of all time. Thanks, girls. Thank you. Let's get into some unqualified dad advice, babe. All right, so we had another cub write me this week, and we get to do another cub feedback loop. We get to do another cub unqualified dad advice. I love when I get to actually talk to you directly. It's my favorite shit. It's my favorite shit, all right? So we had a cub write in. She shut your light off?
No, I'll tell you.
The night light, the nightstand light, she took it off. Would it be possible in this situation to pick it up and put it back on the end table and it would be okay?
She keeps doing it.
All right. Well, I will tell her. Charlotte, do not touch your sister's nightlight. Understand?
Understand.
Say, Daddy, I will not touch it.
Daddy, I'm not touching.
Promise?
Okay.
Don't touch it just to bother your sister. Do not do that. Charlotte's in the phase where she fucks with her older sister for the sake of fucking with her older sister. It has transitioned. Also, the amount of times I've walked into a room and Charlotte has her sister pinned down. Like Gracie will be on her stomach and Charlotte's both hands will be on the back of her head and her butt will be in the middle of her back. Gracie will literally be pinned to the ground and Charlotte will be laughing too many times. Too many times. Just a reminder, Charlotte's the little sister. You know? So. All right, Vincent, I need some advice. Or maybe it's an am I the asshole type of question. But backstory, my father-in-law invited my husband and I to go to Vegas in August for a concert, also with my brother-in-law and his girlfriend. It's worth noting, we just did a very similar trip with these same people back in November, and we did have fun. But I had told my husband I wasn't really interested in going because our 10-year anniversary is the weekend right after that, and I'd prefer if we were to go on a trip without the kiddos and go somewhere for multiple nights that we do something special, just the two of us, for our anniversary. I also just don't want to be in Vegas in August when it will be insanely hot. Also, Vegas, you know? But like, let me slip a little bit of my own personal bias into it. Oh, Vegas. The worst place on the planet. The worst place you could ever go, ever. Dude, went there for a conference for work. The conference was 3 days. Almost committed triple homicide. No one even did anything to me. It was just the energy. Just the fact that too many people had rubbed against my arms because it's so packed everywhere. Almost triple homicide looking for my Uber. That was all. That was the only thing that was going on in my life at the time. I was getting ready to leave and drive to the airport, almost committed homicide. Anyways, I also just don't want to be in Vegas in August when it will be insanely hot. So all that to say, we still were in a decision-making zone on whether we'd go or not. Then we got a text from my husband's half-sister that she has set her wedding date for the same weekend we'd potentially be in Vegas. My stance is we should go to the wedding. Nothing has been booked other than the hotel with a full refund policy up to a 2 weeks notice, so we wouldn't be out any money. Also, the fact that she's family and this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, I feel we should go to the wedding and it felt like a no-brainer to me. She also wants wants my daughters to be flower girls, and how can we pass that up? But my husband thinks since the plan for Vegas came up first and the sister's wedding is actually a reschedule, she was supposed to be married last year, but surprised they were having a baby, so I decided to hold off on the wedding. Natch. So my husband thinks we met our expectation already by planning to go on the original date, and now with a short-term reschedule, we shouldn't be expected to be there with other plans already on the table. I mean, your husband? Love him. Love him with all my heart. Great guy. Absolutely phenomenal dude. Never met him, never talked to him, but what, just like a standout guy, but also basic as fuck, dude. Okay, play this like it was a movie. Actually, you know what? I'll finish. All right. What do you think? We have discussed it multiple times and are still at an impasse. I'm not sure how even to go forward discussing it again. The wedding is about an hour and a half drive from us. It's in the same town she lives in. I'll also add another aspect of the conversation is my husband feels like me wanting to go to the wedding knowing that he wants me to go on the trip with him instead is me showing I don't prioritize him. I tried to explain that it was more about, can I live with myself if I miss this wedding? And then I asked, so the father-in-law that originally invited you to Vegas isn't going to his daughter's wedding? And she said, it's not his daughter. My husband's parents are divorced and his mom had three more kids. It's his mom's daughter. And I went, okay, got it. Now, your husband, the reasoning, it was fair, you know. I do like the fact that it was cleared up later, because initially I was going to go, husband, so basic, obviously, no one wants to go to a wedding, babe. Okay, first of all, no one likes weddings. The bride and groom barely like the wedding, you know, because there's been so much stress to it. And then all the people go, I got to put on a fucking tie and go to a wedding, you know. For the most part, that's people's energy about it. All right. For the most part, it's like, let's go watch these people get married. They're going to get divorced soon. You know, I'm not saying that's your sister. I'm just saying statistically. But so your husband's, it's fair that your husband's like, let's find a way to get out of this. Also Vegas, gross, you know. Now the only thing with your husband's thing is like, yeah, obviously he as a dude is going to want to go to Vegas over going to a wedding. And I'm just basing that off of the message, because me as a dude, I would rather go to a wedding because I'd rather never go to Vegas again. Okay? But that's a side note. Your husband's being a little bit basic in the whole, well, we already made the plans. We already have an out. We're not going to this fucking wedding, you know? And then he used a little bit of emotional intelligence, potentially emotional manipulation, but since I love the guy and I know him well, I'm going to go with emotional intelligence of verbalizing the fact like, I feel like since you know that I would rather go to Vegas with you, you pushing for the wedding belittles my wants. And it's like, okay, y'all put it all out on the table here, okay? Now, you are at an impasse, all right? So I hate to tell you this, homegirl, okay? I hate to tell you this, but here's what you got to do so that all parties involved are equally happy / equally pissed off. You ain't going to either, babe. You ain't going to Vegas because you're going to catch syphilis from a fucking street sign, okay? And also become addicted to crack. You don't want either of those two outcomes, for sure, for sure. And also, you're not going to the wedding because, as you verbalized, if you're going on a trip without the kiddos, do it in the context of your anniversary. So I say that the way you open up conversation with him again about it is plan a different trip. His dad can be all grumpy gills, whatever the fuck, about you not going to Vegas. She can be all grumpy gills, whatever, about you going to the wedding. And if she presses you about like, I can't believe you couldn't make it to my wedding, I really expected you to be there, just hit her with the, I'll catch your next one. Okay? Just hit her with that. Now, I know I'm giving you a little bit of a sarcastic piece of advice, but the problem is that you guys both have your minds made up in opposite directions. And honestly, unless one of you guys gives way, nothing's going to happen of it. Okay. Now, me personally, if this was me and Jordan came to me with this conundrum and it's either I'm going on a trip with my dad and then suddenly, I mean, shit, let's put it this way. Okay. So I'm a child of divorce, you know, my mom went on and had more kids. Let's say I had a trip planned with my dad and stuff, but then one of my little sisters on my mom's side said that she was getting married. I'm going to the wedding, dude. I'm going to the wedding. And him as the big brother, even if it is half brother or whatever the fuck, like, doesn't matter. Like, it's family. And that's one of the downsides of weddings, is that they take away an opportunity to do something else that weekend. But I'll tell you what, it's going to mean a lot more to the bride and groom moving forward in the future that you sacrifice the time to come celebrate their love for each other. Like, in all reality, the wedding is a bigger deal. You know, no one goes into a marriage being like, well, 50% of these end poorly. You know, it's like you're going in to celebrate two people's unity and love. Also, they just had a kid. So they're announcing their vows in front of their family and their loved ones. And that's a beautiful thing. The symbolism behind that is beautiful. And for you to miss out on that because of a planned trip to Vegas, dude, fuck Vegas, okay? You're coming to me with this? Worst thing that you could put it up against. So I would say, if this was me personally, it would be a no-brainer for me that I'm going to go support my little sister and her wedding. And that is what it is, dude. Like, I don't care what I have going on. I'm going to go to the wedding. Because hopefully it only happens once. And I want to be there for that. So rather than him attacking you, I don't know, dude. Maybe you guys have to have a fight about this. If you guys are at an impasse and everyone's all bitter and rude and shit already, fucking fight about it full bore. Fight about it full bore and get it all out on the table and be like, I think it's pretty fucked up that you don't want to support your sister in your wedding, dude. What the fuck? You'd rather go to Vegas? What? And jack off to strippers and shit? Fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Like, if you guys need to fight about it, you need to fight about it, but you got to open up the conversation with it. You can't do the whole, like, we're at an impasse. I'm just kind of confused that he doesn't want to go to his sister's wedding. And you guys just went on a trip with your brother-in-law and father-in-law and shit like that. So I don't know. I don't get it. But to me, the no-brainer thing seems like going to the wedding. But anyways, also, I've just realized I have a request on here. So maybe there's another cub. And that's an old vote for the new podcast art. Okay. And they didn't vote for the one we picked. That's fine, dude. That's fine. By the way, make sure you keep an eye out for the new podcast art. The winner was the bear in the middle with the cherub babe over the top. So thank you guys all for participating in that. It's dope. I like it. It was a close vote. It was a close vote for the two that I didn't think it would be for. The only one that had my face in it, least amount of votes. And that's fine, dude. I didn't take that personally at all. I understand. I'm a solid 6, but it's all good, dude. My personality gains me some points, and I know that, all right? I live life like a 10, so you can't really say shit to me about my lack of eyebrows or hair. So just don't come at me with that, and we're fine. You know what I mean? But yeah, I hope that helped, okay? And just for shits and gigs, we'll do one actual am I the asshole. And to answer that question, you're not the asshole, and you guys should probably go to the wedding. And the first am I the asshole that pops up, am I the asshole for telling my daughter she has to understand that choosing this wedding date would result in my family not going? I don't plan these episodes, okay? I don't set this up. Sometimes God goes, take this one. Sometimes the universe just goes, you want to dance on the bridge a little bit? And I go, yeah, universe. And the universe goes, check out the first Am I the Asshole. How about I just put in your brain that you should click on Am I the Asshole, and it's going to be exactly pertinent to the advice you just give. Let's see. 2 years ago, my brother, my nephew, and my mother were in a car accident. Rough start. My mother died instantly. Okay. Well, this took a crazy turn. I'm going to drop the cadence in my voice and not act like I'm speaking in comedic sense, and we're going to start it over. 2 years ago, my brother, my nephew, and my mother were in a car accident. My mother died instantly. My brother and nephew passed away the next day. Fuck. My family was small. Me, my husband, daughter, parents, brother, wife, and 2 nephews. Their loss was devastating for my life and for everyone, even worse for my father and my sister-in-law. 1 year ago, my daughter, Betty, was proposed by her fiance and preparations began. During this process, they chose the date based on the day they met 7 years ago, and that day is exactly 2 years since the death of my brother and nephew. I tried to talk to her about moving because it is still a very difficult day for our family and even for myself, but she insisted, saying that the venue had that date available and it would be perfect because all of the other available date. Well, I wouldn't throw the word fucking perfect out there, you know what I mean? Because obviously, based off of the initial paragraph of this topic, not perfect. You know what perfect means? Ain't nothing wrong with it, all right? Seems to be a glaring fucking hole and you're perfect. Anyways, because all other available dates aren't so good and wouldn't be so important, I respected her decision. Recently, she sent the invitations to everyone, and as I predicted, my sister-in-law, my nephew, and my father responded that they would not attend, and despite not telling her, my father and sister-in-law told me that the date choice was sound, told me that the date choice seemed offensive to them. I decided to remain neutral. At some point, I confirmed my presence and my husband's. Today, my daughter called me unhappy that no one but us confirmed. My husband doesn't have any family on his side, and her family part was empty, and she expected everyone to go on that date. Even more so after she explained the reason to them about the date, and they still refused. I tried to be supportive, but I said, love, the date is difficult even for me, but I will go to your wedding. But you have to understand that this choice of date has the consequences, and you would have to deal with the consequences of your choices. She exploded at me, saying that everyone was against her. It's not her fault. The dates coincided, and everyone could make an effort to go a few hours for her, but they decided to just, oh, what a spoiled fucking bitch. We're not even going to read the rest, dude. What a spoiled little fucking brat, dude. Oh, pick the only date out of 365 days in a year that's probably traumatic for over 50% of the family. You know, pick the only date that is associated with the eternal loss of 50% of the family. And then when they go, this date is just too difficult for us because this date is the anniversary of everything that we lost. Therefore, we maybe like to do a couple special things on this date, pay respect to our loved ones, keep them in our thoughts and prayers. Therefore, we're going to stick to that and continue our grieving and mourning process, considering it was 2 years ago, dude. And then her go, y'all can't, you just can't, it's my wedding day. Fuck you. Hey, real quick, come here. Come here. Come here. Get the fuck out of my face. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those. So, no, you're not the asshole. You're 100% in the right. But here's what I would do. I would go, you know what, babe? Keep the wedding. Keep the date. Keep the date. Oh, that's what you want? That's what you need? Yeah? Keep the wedding. And then when no one shows up to your wedding, maybe you could go forward and look at the pictures. And maybe you'll be bitter for a year or two, but then hopefully eventually you'll fucking grow up and the world doesn't revolve around you. And maybe you need to sacrifice your wants and needs for the emotional support and security of a loved one who's experienced actual trauma. Not, you're supposed to watch me get put in my white dress. Get the fuck out of here. You know, your wedding was trumped. In this case, have it when you want. Throw a fit about it. Continue to push people away because you're a spoiled brat. You know? Wow. What an asshole. The mom's not the asshole. The daughter is giant asshole, dude. She's one giant asshole. You look asshole in the dictionary, it shows her in her wedding dress with tears running down her face. That was Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast, babe. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to all the socials and whatnot. Stay up to date. And go ahead and review the podcast if you have a chance. Also, if you want to buy some merch, cheerupbabe.shop is where you can get it. I love you with all my heart and soul. Go out there. Don't be a bummer. And cheer up, babe.